Live from the podcast studio, this is From Long Distance to Marriage with Rich and Andrea. We're a once long distance couple who closed 5,000 miles of distance and are now happily married.
We talk long distance, marriage and relationships.
Hi everyone, welcome to episode 35 of From Long Distance to Marriage. Can you believe we've done... Can you believe that we've done 35 of these?
I don't feel bereaved about it, I think it's quite good.
Can you believe it though?
Yeah, because the last one was 34.
But like time-wise...
It has gone quick, yeah.
You're so helpful.
I know.
So today is Father's Day. So to those of our listeners who are fathers, happy Father's Day. We hope you're good dads. To those of you who have dads and have moved away from your family, you might be dealing with some kind of... What did I just say? Moved away from your family? Is that what I said?
Yeah, I think so.
That's what I meant to say.
Right.
For those of you who have moved away from your family to be with your long-distance partner, you might be feeling, yeah, some emotions today. Which made us think about a topic that we've kind of not glossed over, but only really passed over a bit in other episodes. And that's dealing with the fact that when you move to be with your long-distance partner, the majority of holidays and occasions are going to be spent with that person's family. And that can be kind of hard. I think I've touched on before how sometimes I almost... doesn't happen as much anymore, but sometimes I would almost feel like a bit resentful is the closest I can... the closest word I can think of. Does that make sense to you?
Mm-hmm.
Like, sometimes it just makes you all the more homesick or all the more sad when, you know, say for, so it being Father's Day as an example, you know, you're missing your dad, you're not there, maybe it's the first Father's Day you've been away, and instead you're spending it with your partner's dad, and, you know, even if they're lovely, they're not your dad, and you can just get a lot of emotions about that. And I think I went through a period where I had a lot of negative feelings about stuff like that, and I think had you not really pointed out some behaviors that you were noticing, like just how frustrated and angry I would get with family stuff, and you hadn't told me and I hadn't tried to correct those behaviors, it could have damaged some relationships, I think.
My family?
Yeah.
The way you were getting about my family?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that it wasn't that I didn't like them or that they were horrible by any means. Rich has a wonderful family and they've been nothing but good to us. But I just got so like pent up and frustrated that everything was with his family, all the holidays, unless we traveled, you know, every year and a half. And I think part of the problem too was back then, we didn't get back to America as much, did we?
No, it was a couple of years. Was it a couple? It was because your mum came out quite.
My mom came out a few times, but that was only her that I was seeing, and yeah, that was great. But you know, my dad, my siblings, my best friends, my niece, and then eventually my nephew when he came along. So I think it's something to be aware of, you know, try to not let that, like, frustration, obviously if you feel it, you're going to feel sad, go through the emotions, but it's important to recognize if there are some kind of negative behaviors coming out of it, because that can affect things, and then it can affect things with your partner eventually, you know, if you're not getting on with their family, or you're just always in a sour mood when you're around them, you know, you and your partner eventually will have problems with that. So I guess the best advice I have is follow the advice in other episodes about how to, you know, keep your family involved in your life. Schedule FaceTime, send presents, maybe arrange for them to open the gift that you've sent them for the holiday or Father's Day or whatever occasion it is. When you're on FaceTime, try and make an occasion somehow. Like, I talk to my parents quite a lot, just like on like a FaceTime audio. Because a lot of the times I try and make sure I call my family, my mom and dad, at least once a week when I'm driving home from work. So I can't really FaceTime when I'm driving home. So just through Bluetooth, I do FaceTime audio. And it's, you know, it's great. So that means FaceTime's kind of a special occasion. Now, I think younger people do FaceTime a lot more, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah.
But, like, with my parents, it's kind of a treat. They know how to do it and stuff, but we just don't do it as much. So make it an occasion so you still have something to look forward to. And try and find a way to make it special, whether that is, you know, doing FaceTime for a change or something. Just, I don't know, you know, it depends on what you normally do. But also, I'd say try and embrace it, you know, being with your partner's family, because you know, one day you might end up moving back to where you live, or you might move somewhere completely different, and then they won't have that either. So try and make those memories for your partner to be with their family and enjoy it. So like, for example, today for Father's Day, we had Rich's dad and stepmom and his sister and her husband and their kids come over, and we did a big brunch and had everyone in the house, and it was crazy and it was loud and the kids were screaming, but it was nice. And, you know, and that's a morning that we've had with his dad that was really special.
Yeah.
Do you have anything to add to that? Because obviously you've gone through these feelings of frustration and stuff like with me over the years, in terms of, you know, being apart from my family and then on holidays, and from your side, like how it can feel if your partner's getting frustrated or fed up or...
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important to talk about it because, like you said, at first it took me mentioning it to you that you were behaving in a certain way, and it wasn't just me noticing it. People were picking up on it. You'd be a bit snarky, look a bit disinterested. Generally, you didn't seem very happy to be around them, and people noticed that. So if you don't have that conversation, everybody suffers because you've been in the position where you're not happy. I'm in the position where, I know you're not happy, it makes me not happy, and I'm aware the family's not happy, and then the family thinks, why is this person with this person?
Well, it never got like that.
No, it didn't. I was saying it could get there. It's important to be aware of it. And I think, you know, as hard as it gets, it's important to remember that it's still, at the end of the decision you made, it's not a decision the people in the family made. So they shouldn't be impacted by it. And it's just about, you know, you have to engineer your life in a way that gives you what you want. So if it's, I'm upset I'm not talking to my family enough, then set up a routine with them to talk to them more. There's any number of ways you can do that, I guess. Everyone knows how their family operates. It may be that maybe there's something that you used to do that you don't do anymore. Like, if a family did Friday movie night and you're not there for it anymore, then you feel like you're missing that. So, one, can you recreate anything where you are now? And two, can you have extra contact with your family? Like, maybe FaceTime them before they're sitting down to watch the film. Like,
or watch, if you can get the same movie, like, watch it at the same time as them and message about it or something, like, long-distance relationship. Yeah.
So I think couples, just try and think of how you can... we've done that episode, or you've mentioned in previous episodes, that when you close the distance with your partner, you just open up a long-distance relationship with your family. So kind of think, what would I be doing if this was my boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, whatever? That'll probably shift your attitude a little bit. And I know one of the other things you found hard was that you, like, from everyone else's point of view, life goes on as normal because anything that's changed is you're not there.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas for you, everything had changed and your family wasn't there. So you kind of had this expectation that people would still be talking to you and reaching out to you and, like, sort of clamouring to maintain your presence there. And you're a bit, because, like, you know, they still have to go up and go to work and they still have to come home and cook dinner. And so I think managing those expectations and being aware that it's probably going to have to be you that really makes the effort. And I think that's how it should be, because you are the one upping and leaving. Yeah. You're the one that needs to demonstrate that you're not abandoning them. You know, you do still love them and want that time with them. So that's my two cents.
Yeah, totally. But like I said, I think throwing yourself into it, embracing it as much as you can. Like, I'm also very fortunate that, like, you know, I know some people's in-laws, or even if you're not married, you know, your partner's parents or family, you know, sometimes there's some nasty characters. We've all heard the nightmare stories of mother-in-laws and, you know, sister-in-laws, and, you know, whatever. You know, that's not a situation. You know, we're very fortunate that everyone really gets on. Like, yeah, Rich's parents are divorced and, like, they don't really have much contact. But, you know, Rich really likes his stepdad. He really likes his stepmom. And, you know, there's no real animosity. Everyone gets on and everyone's really nice to me and has embraced me and our relationship. And, you know, both your mom and stepdad and your dad and stepmom always say, you know, what a great couple we are and stuff. Like, they're happy about us being together. So, you know, it makes me feel kind of bad even that it was ever an issue where I was just getting fed up. And it just makes you think, you know, like when you're watching your, like me watching you, like with your dad on Father's Day, you can't help but get a pang. Like, oh, okay, well, I'll talk to my dad later. And I sent him a present and a card or whatever. But you can't help but feel what you're missing.
No, and I think if you're able to, like, you know, for you it's a long way and it's a lot of money and stuff, but for people that's maybe not quite as extreme, maybe try and figure out that you're actually there occasionally. So maybe 1 year you can save up the money. So maybe from now you can say, do you know what, I really want to be there next year. So you start saving enough money every month where you can get your ticket and you can be there and a few days off work.
Yeah.
Because it hasn't got to be a ticket. You know, I was talking to someone at work the other day that she used to work for an airline, and she wasn't a stewardess, but she they used to get basically free tickets. And so they'd just go, like, she'd go from here in England to Vegas for a weekend. Like, you don't have to turn into this long thing. So you don't think, oh, I've got to take a week or 2 weeks off work. You could just say, right, I'm going to get there the day before Father's Day. I'll be there for the day and I'll come back the day after.
Oh, or
the
day after. The jet lag.
Or the day after.
If, but if you get free tickets, that's one thing. Like,
well, I'm just saying, it doesn't have to be a full holiday that you've got to think, I can't get time off work for it. I can't do this. You know, if it's that important to you, then just do a few days.
Yeah, and like,
and if it's like Australia, then, and you're 24 hours away from Australia, then that's a bit different. But the general point is, try and think, can I be there for it at all? Or can you arrange to do something else? You know, are you able to meet in the middle with your family so they turn it into a bit of a trip and you turn it into a bit of a trip and everyone meets up?
Yeah. I mean, it was really nice. I think we mentioned when we talked about my brother's wedding last month that it just so happened that his wedding was the day before Mother's Day. And it didn't even occur to me that was the situation until like a few weeks before. Because I realized, oh yeah, Mother's Day is coming up. I need to get my mom a card. And like, it's confusing for me here because Mother's Day in England is in March.
Yeah.
And then in America, it's in May. So I always have to remember in March, like when you're getting a card for your mom, oh, I better grab one. Try and find one that doesn't say mom. Try and find one that just says like Happy Mother's Day or whatever. And then I have to then save that and set myself a reminder for a week before Mother's Day to send it. So I had gotten my mom a card in March. And then here we were, like, maybe towards the end of April. And I was like, oh, yeah, when is it? I looked it up. I need to send it. And I realized it was the 9th, which was the day after my brother's wedding. And I was just so stoked. Like, when I was sitting at work and I messaged Rich and I was like, oh, my God, guess what? We're going to be there for Mother's Day. And, like, I almost cried at my desk. Like, it was a really emotional thing. So, you know, it's great if you can find another reason to be out there for these holidays. And it's not just Mother's Day and Father's Day, you know. I find for me the actual hardest is Thanksgiving, because it's just a nothing day here. It's just a Thursday. Everyone here is always like, oh yeah, what's Thanksgiving for? Like, I worked in the same company for almost 5 years before my job now, and every year they'd say, oh, happy Thanksgiving. What does it mean again? What's it for? What's the meaning of it? Every year. And I would tell them every year and they would always forget. And so not only that, but when, you know, at lunchtime or whatever, when you get on Facebook, everyone back home's getting up, they're starting to cook, family, you know, oh, so-and-so's here. Like, it's all this family togetherness that you're missing out on, and you're just sitting at your desk at work. And that's a really hard thing. I think I've mentioned before, I always try and do something the Saturday after Thanksgiving, even if it's just me and you. You know, I cook a little meal, a mini Thanksgiving, or sometimes we'll have friends over and I'll do a bigger deal. Whereas like Christmas actually isn't as hard. Like, it is hard because I'm missing out on that time together, but at least Christmas is a huge deal here too.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, we're not with my family, but it's still, we get time off work. We're with your family. It's nice. There's presents, there's great food. So all that's missing is my family. Whereas like at Thanksgiving, everything's missing. The whole holiday is missing and no one even gives a shit about it. So I think you just need to find your own coping mechanisms for that. But really the main thing is try not to let it become a problem in the sense that you're just so fed up with it. Feel it, acknowledge it, but don't let it become an issue between you and your partner, because that's not what you want. Like, yeah, it is true. Like what you said a few minutes ago, like it is a decision you made to come here, but it's not an easy decision. It's like having kids. You decide to have kids, but then they're really, really hard work and you have to work through that.
Yeah, but I think the thing with decisions is they all have consequences and...
But it doesn't mean you're not going to suffer.
No, that's what I was going to say. They have consequences and it's important that you think about what they all entail before you move, for one. Yeah, before you make that decision, think, what am I going to be giving up? What am I going to be gaining? You know, and there's no harm in writing that out. Have a list of pros, a list of cons, just so you go into it eyes wide open. Because the more you know, the better prepared you can be. And I think that's a really important thing. And then once you're already there, yeah, you have to accept, like, okay, yes, it's hard, I'm not seeing people, and I wish they'd come out here more, but it is my decision that I went. I'm the one that has to make more effort. Not all the effort. I don't think you should make all the effort, but I think you need to make the lion's share of it.
Yeah, and that's fine. And yeah, it's good to have a game plan and stuff, but you don't know how you're going to feel until you're out there living it. Like,
no, of course not, but it's just about preparation.
Yeah,
know?
And I
at
guess
at least you can know. You know, if you go out there and you don't know anything, then you're going to be sort of scrambling around. If you say, okay, I know it's going to be hard, so, right, Mum, Dad, I'm going to call you every Tuesday night and Saturday morning. So when you're out there and then it's hard, you're like, I know I'm talking to them tomorrow. You can start to just put some systems and routines in place. You can have the conversations in advance. You can, you know, you don't have to make all the mistakes and all the things for yourself. You can learn what other people have gone through.
And I guess I didn't have that. You know, when I did this, when I moved, I mean, I don't think there were any long-distance relationships.
No, but I mean, if we were to ever end up moving back, it's still not something I've done, but I would have learned from watching what you've gone through.
Yeah.
Physically, you and how people have responded to you not being there. You know, the people who have come out to visit us and the people who haven't come out to visit us. Yeah. I mean, like, your family's been here, not one of your friends has been out here.
No.
You know, so it's things like that. It's like, okay, what can I... And equally for me, you know, I've had a... My best man moved to Australia. We've never been out to visit him. Mm. So you can start to have those expectations. Okay, who can I really expect to come out here? And in turn, who do I expect I'm not going to see very much of anymore? Okay, I'm going to try and see those guys more before I go.
Yeah.
You know, see, just the more prepared you are, the better your expectations. And I think it's one of those things of prepare for the worst, but hope for the best. So you hope it's going to be better than what you imagine, but if you expect no one's going to come and visit me, I'm going to see people maybe every couple of years. Like, if you prepare for that to be the scenario, you'll make more effort before you go, and you'll make more effort when you're there to keep in touch with people. And the more you do, the better you'll feel. And I think that's also going to keep the relationship more alive with your family and friends. And then they, in turn, are probably more likely to want to do something on their end to come and see you or just get a conversation with you. Because I think, like you said earlier, younger people are FaceTiming and Snapchatting and stuff, and that can really help you feel connected. So if you've got friends who are back in your home country who still remember to include you in a group chat, still, oh, I found this funny meme, I thought of you. Those little things make all the difference that you're still part of that network.
Yeah. It's just really easy to feel left out is what it comes down to when you move away. And you know, it is up to you, and it is your responsibility to, you know, keep doors open and keep relationships going. Like, you know, you have moved. People need to put their effort in too, but, you know, it is going to be down to you, and that's something to be prepared for, really. And don't let the bad, because there are bad feelings. There's sadness, there's loneliness, there's a feeling of dejectedness, is that right?
You feel dejected, yeah.
But I just didn't know if the ness made sense. Dejectedness. Yeah, it's an isolating feeling. In holidays and occasions, birthdays, anniversaries. You know, like, my dad retired last year and there was a huge retirement party and I would have loved to be there. But, you know, our circumstances didn't allow it. And we'd already booked tickets to go out at Christmas. So, you know, you just... I guess what I'm trying to get at is, like, you're going to feel this. And that's fine, that's healthy. It'd be weird if you didn't find it difficult. But find a way to not let it poison, you know, what you do have with your family, what you have with your partner's family, and just make the best of it that you can. Because, yeah, I've had some hiccups and kind of not handled things very well. And, yeah, there's never been any problems or any fights or anything. But, like, your mom in particular has made comments like, oh, is everything okay? You know, Andrea seemed like this or like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I feel bad because I don't want to make anyone feel like I don't like them or don't want to be around them. And thankfully I've been able to have conversations with her and just explain, you know, I know that sometimes I seem snappy or I'd be, you know, sometimes I can seem like I'm not interested. I'm really sorry. That's not the case. I'm going to make an effort not to come across that way. But the reason I do sometimes is because every time, you know, not every time, but a lot of the times when we spend time with you guys, I'm just reminded how oh, I can't just pop in on my parents' house at the weekend. Yeah. I can't just snip around there for dinner. And she 1,000% understands it. Not in the sense that she can necessarily relate, but she can understand how that feels. And she's always really understanding. So I think you just have to be open with everyone, really, as much as you can. Mm-hmm. Not just your partner. If you're lucky enough that you can be open with their family and explain to them, and that's great. And really, you know, they're never going to, your partner's family is never going to measure up unless you have a really bad relationship with your family, but they're never going to feel like they're your family the way that they're your partner's family or the way your own family does. But, you know, make an effort so that at least you can be open and honest with them and get on with them and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's it. It's just kind of a simple one this week. Feeling a bit reflective with, you know, holidays and stuff. Like Father's Day. So yeah, if you guys have any questions or want to suggest any episodes, get in touch with us. Longdistancemarriage.com or at Mr. and Mrs. Distance on Twitter and Instagram. Mainly at Instagram. It's where we spend most of our time.
Mm-hmm.
See you guys.